You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_beeble. We're going to be looking back at the top 20 players in fantasy basketball as well as doing a fantasy check-in on the Chicago Bulls, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and of course the Charlotte Hornets. It's all ready to go, so
let's get to it.
All right, guys, let's take a look at the top 20 players in fantasy basketball over the last 2 weeks on a per-game basis. We're looking at this. The number one player, far and away, the number one player is, of course, Jim Harden of the Houston Rockets, who in the last six games is averaging 42 points, 7 triples, 7 rebounds, 9 assists, 1.5 steals, and 1.2 blocks. He is that far ahead of the next player, which is Joel Embiid, that it's not even remotely funny. He has just been putting up an absolutely astonishing run of performances over these last couple of weeks, and Harden is your number one guy. As I mentioned, Embiid is number two, averaging 30 and 16. He missed a game in there with a knee issue, 1.6 threes a game, one steal, 2.6 blocks, 51 and 86%. From the line, yeah, great numbers. The 30 points is probably a little bit unsustainable from Embiid, but everything else is relatively, I guess, something that we can expect him to do on a regular, maybe the 16 rebounds are a bit high as well, but he can do that other stuff more regularly. The number three player is Karl-Anthony Towns, 28 and 17 rebounds. That's really high. Almost 5 assists, a steal, and almost 3 blocks on 54 and 77% shooting. There's a real chance that he can be a top three player from here on out. The rebounds are high, the assists are high, the blocks are high, so they're a little bit pushed forward in that degree, but there's no reason he can't be a 2 blocks, a 14 rebound guy with 30 points per game on really elite percentages. Number four, Anthony Davis, a lot of big men here obviously, 31 and 16 for Davis over his last five with 2.2 steals and 1.8 blocks. The free throw percentage continues to be a little bit weird for Davis, only 76% on 9 attempts, which actually turns into a marginal negative in that category, but those other numbers are so good that he is putting up really, really strong performances, only shooting 28% from 3, so some room for improvement there. The number 5 ranked player is Giannis Antetokounmpo, averaging only 32 minutes a night because of some Bucks blowouts, 28 points, 12 rebounds and 7 assists with 2.3 blocks and 1.7 steals on an astonishing 63% field goal, higher than Davis, Towns and Embiid, and the next guy, Jokic as well, in terms of field goal percentage because he's unbelievable, and these guys are all centers. Of course, he's got one of the worst free throw percentages. In fact, the second largest free throw deficit in the entire top 20 is Giannis, 67% on 8 attempts. It's a real problem, and it's something that your team needs to be able to deal with, and you need to build around it. Otherwise, you're going to be losing that category a lot of weeks. The number 6th ranked player is Nikola Jokic, really stepping it up, 22, 10, and 9 on 57 and 77. One of the things really keeping him back earlier in the season was that the shots just weren't falling. He couldn't hit his threes, his free throws had dropped off, his field goal percentage was well down. That's reverted himself. He's also bumped his usage, even with Gary Harris and Paul Millsap back. It'll be interesting to see what Will Barton does to that when he returns. But Jokic has established himself, as he always seems to do, take a couple of months to get going, and he's really cranking at the moment. The number 7th ranked player is Kyrie Irving. He's only played 4 games over this time period. He has had that eye issue. 26 points, 5.5 rebounds, 8.8 assists, and 1.3 steals with 51 and 94 as his percentages. His assists are well up this season. The steals are pretty strong. His legendary efficiency is back. He's hitting his free throws at an elite rate. He has been fantastic, and he's going to be in and around that top 15-ish type of zone for the majority of the season, I would guess. Number 8 is Steph Curry, 30 points per game in his last 6, 5 triples, 5.3 assists, and 1.3 steals. The efficiency is still there, even though it seems like maybe he hasn't quite been as good, only 40% from 3, but it's pretty hard to argue with a guy averaging 30 points per game over the last 6. Curry's going to be in and around that top 10 mark. Number 9 is Nick Vucevic. We're all waiting for some sort of a drop-off for Vuce. It's not really coming. 21 and 13, 4 assists, 1.6 blocks. It's really his field goal percentage, though, which is so far above anything that he's really done in the past. 57% from the field on 16 attempts is keeping his value sky high. I don't think he can remain a top 10 player. So if you are looking for someone to perhaps try and sell high, I think Vucevic would be the guy here out of the top 10 to do that. I'm not that worried about a trade for him or him getting shut down or losing minutes to Mo Bamba or anything along those lines. It's more that if that field goal percentage does drop, that there is a concern. Number 10 is Kyle Lowry. He's had just the one game back, 12-3-8 with three steals and a block. He won't be this high. This is just an anomalous performance based on the assists and steals. He'll still be in that top 20, top 30 type of a zone. It's just good to have him back. Number 11 is Blake Griffin, 24-7, over five assists, almost three triples, 49 from the field and 86 from the line. Really good numbers. This was a guy, Griffin, who used to be a punt free throw player. He has worked considerably on his free throws and continues to improve them consistently. The assists, this is just a completely different statistical profile than the Griffin that came into the league. He was 20-10 with bad free throws and nothing else. Now he adds assists, now he adds threes to his game. He's still never adding defense. But he is really high up there, and he's going to remain a top 30, top 40 type guy. Maybe the 11th ranked guy is a little bit extreme. Number 12 is Paul George, still averaging 30 points a game with 2.7 steals. The efficiency down to under 44% over the last six games. That's probably what's dropped him out from being that top five, top six sort of a player. The assists also down to two per game as well, as Westbrook's really taking on more of that distributing role and George is being more of the scorer. Number 13, probably the biggest shocker here in this top 20, is D'Angelo Russell of the Brooklyn Nets. 33 minutes a night over his last five, 24.5 points, three triples, four rebounds, seven assists, and a steal on 47% from the field. 20 attempts per game, usage of 32, hasn't missed a free throw, and he's still only shooting 33% from three. He has been absolutely on fire for the Nets of late. This is high, no doubt about that. But when I look at what he's doing, there are only a couple of things that stand out as being excessively high. The 47% from the field, not known as a great shooter. 60% from two-point range, that's probably going to come down. The 33 minutes a night, he'd been that 29 minutes a night guy with Dinwiddie getting the minutes, but of late, it's been Russell. So maybe those two things can drop, but I think a top 50 finish for Russell is absolutely a possibility. And the way he's playing at the moment, he looks unbelievable. And maybe it's a sell high if you can get a top 20 number back for him, but don't expect for him to drop off and become outside the top 80 or anything like that. Number 14, LaMarcus Aldridge. We worried about his efficiency to begin the season. That's back on track. 60% from the field and 83% from the line over his last six. 27 points, only five rebounds, but surprisingly four assists. But it's really that efficiency that drives his value. Number 15, another bit of a surprise here, Yusuf Nurkic, 20-12 with four assists, 1.6 steals, and 1.3 blocks. Of course, he had that 20-20 5x5 game the other day, but even outside of that, he's been playing really, really well. The free throws have improved, his field goal percentage is up, he's blocking shots, he's really been a super steal from drafts. This is obviously a little bit high for Nurkic, but he's putting up those numbers. Gobert comes in at number 16. He's averaging 16-12 in the last six games in only 31 minutes. A steal, 2.3 blocks, but the fact that he's getting you 74% from the field and those 2.3 blocks is what's elevated him to be a top 20 player. He is a real three-category guy, including rebounds. It's not helping you much in those other areas, but those other ones are such big positives that it pushes him this high. Number 17 is Brad Beal, 26-5-5. 2.3 steals, 42-81. He's going to have sky-high usage. He's going to handle the ball more with John Wall out. Higher assist numbers. He's going to be in and around this number for most of the season. Same with Drew Holiday at number 18, who's averaging 22-5-6.5. The efficiency's still there, still blocking shots, getting steals. He can be better than this. He could be marginally worse, but this is about the right spot for Drew, who continues to play great basketball. Number 19 is Russell Westbrook, averaging 24, 11.5, and 9.5 with 2.4 steals, which is obviously fantastic. 39% from the field is a disaster. 67% from the line is a disaster, especially on the amount of attempts. And if you're counting three-point percentage, he's shooting 22% from there. Also a massive disaster. Westbrook has the largest negative impact in one category in the top 20. Him and Jim Harden have tied for the worst field goal percentage. And then he's got about the fifth worst category with his free throw percentage. So it is obviously a real challenge to have him in rotisserie leagues and to be able to deal with both of those percentages being so poor. The last guy in the top 20, number 20, Kawhi Leonard, the fun guy, 29-6 with 1.5 steals, 50-83. I predict that the next back-to-back the Raptors have, he will play in that back-to-back. The numbers are solid. He should be able to jump back into the top 12, top 10 type of discussion here. The reason he's not there is the steals are a little bit down. He's not hitting quite as many threes, just 29% from three. So when that comes back up, he'll jump back up into that top 20 discussion. Just to round out the top 24, Capella, Teague, Ayton, and Derek White at number 24. Yes, Derek White at number 24. Can't remind you enough that he is a must-add player. So that does it for the top 20 players in fantasy basketball over the last 2 weeks. All right, fantasy check-in now for the Charlotte Hornets, going with a different format for this week, with you guys on Twitter asking me questions regarding these specific teams. We're doing the Hornets today, so the question comes from Zachary Hoke. Will Hernan Gomez and Bismack Biyombo just continue to split minutes close to evenly and be matchup based, or will they eventually start to give Hernan Gomez 22 to 24 each night? James Borrego has been pretty clear, I think, and this is something I mentioned as soon as the Zeller injury went down, saying that they've got multiple options here at center. So I wouldn't be expecting one person to lock down this position until Zeller returns. There's not only Biyombo and Hernan Gomez, but there's Frank Kaminsky that he can use there. There's Michael Kidd-Gilchrist that he can use there. And he can go really small and use Miles Bridges, as he's done multiple times this season, especially against the Milwaukee Bucks when those guys match up. So, no, I wouldn't expect Bill to play 24 minutes a night. I think he's probably in that 20 minutes a night range. And most nights it'll be Biyombo and Hernan Gomez. I don't think, and I know this, that Biyombo can't be a 30-minute-a-night guy. He's just not good enough. He struggles so much offensively, takes so much off the table there. He did play 30 minutes a night, played 30 minutes two games ago, and then went back and played like 19 the next game. And I think we're going to see it be quite matchup based. It's going to be hard to rely upon for any of these centers in Charlotte in terms of who you're going to be looking to stream in or add. Hernan Gomez is the better bet. He's the better per minute producer versus him or Biyombo or Kaminsky or any of those other guys. But on the nights where he gets 18 minutes, he probably isn't going to be a 12-team league guy. If he gets 22 minutes, then he will be a 12-team league guy. So if I'm going to roster one of them, it's going to be Hernan Gomez. But consistency and role in playing time for any of these guys, I don't think that's going to be the case for the next 4 to 6 weeks while Cody Zeller is out. All right, fantasy check-in now for the Chicago Bulls. A question coming in here from Nee Me, who says, can I count on LaVine for 20-plus points per game? I think you can. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't. He's averaging almost 24 a game at the moment. He's doing that on 46% shooting, including 35% from three. No reason why LaVine isn't able to continue to do what he is doing. 30% usage is high, but yeah, even over the last six games, with Markkanen back, with Dunn back, the usage has dropped to under 28%. He's still averaging 23 points per game. Now, the field goal percentage is pretty high in that time, 52%, so that could probably come back a bit. So while I don't think he continues at 23.5 points per game where he currently is, I think that we can see him maintain the 20-plus points per game scoring rate that he's been at. He's still going to have the bulk of the usage on this team, even if it's not as high as the 30% that he had early in the season when everyone was healthy. And even if this really elevated field goal percentage, 54% from the field in his last 10 games, even if that isn't able to stick, he is still going to be able to be a 20-plus point per game scorer. I'll give you another question for the Bulls as well. Jackson Chow says, does Punchbob Shiploke have real top 100 value for the rest of the season? No. That's my answer. I don't believe in Portis as a top 100 guy. Look, for example, we saw his first game back and people got excited about it. He had 17 points, 5 rebounds. He hit 3 triples. He shot the ball well. And he was the 215th ranked player based on that one game on a per game basis. So his lack of assists, he gets none, steals, blocks, he struggles in all those areas, and he's not usually this efficient of a shooter. They do all hold him back. Also the fact that Wendell Carter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen are going to be the starters. Now Portis could come in and maybe he plays 27 minutes a night, and maybe they do move Robin Lopez, but I don't think that Portis is a guy you want eating big minutes. He's a real issue in terms of the offense and impacting other players with his sky-high usage and generally poor efficiency. Maybe top 120. I don't think that he is a must-roster 12-team league guy as a limited minutes guy who has plenty of deficiency in his fantasy game. He's definitely not a bad guy to look at in 12-team leagues, but I don't think that he's some sort of lock to be a top 100 player from here on out. All right, fantasy check-in now for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Question today comes from Kenny, whose Twitter username is Nice Gary.
Nice Gary!
He says, I've been holding Love since his injury back in early November. Is it time to move on? Now, reports coming out today about Kevin Love and the potential for his return. It's not looking great, to be honest. I do believe that Love will play again this season. I think we're looking more into trade deadline sort of time frame rather than any time in January. And originally we all thought it was going to be in January. I think we're pushing it back to the trade deadline. I think he'll be back in March. But Kenny, this question comes down to a lot of different factors. Yeah, as to whether you keep holding Love, do you have an injured reserve slot? If the answer is yes, then you generally keep him there unless you've got multiple other guys who need to fill that position. Where are you, if you don't have an IR spot, where are you in the standings? Have you managed to keep yourself in the top three or top four in the standings with Love injured? Well, if so, then keep holding him because you're still in a strong position. Are you sliding? Are you in sixth or seventh and really struggling to make it happen? Then you might need to move on, whether that's with selling low and just trying to get someone who's not a waiver wire player onto your team, or outright dropping him. Because I think we could be 4 or 5 weeks here away from Love returning and then ramping it back up for another 2 to 3 weeks after that in terms of playing time. There is a real concern that we don't get big minutes Love or decent minutes Love until sometime in March, which is obviously a long time away. So it is dependent really on your position in the league, where you're headed, your league settings. Is a weekly lock league where you can just keep a guy on the bench and that serves as a pseudo IR spot? Do you have injured reserve? How are you traveling? All those sort of things. How many other injured players have you got? Most of the time you can carry one injured guy, but if you've got two, it gets pretty tough. So answering that individual question is pretty hard, but just thought I'd give you an update on the Kevin Love scenario and what my thoughts are in terms of when he could potentially be back in action, which it's not looking great at this point. And that'll do it for another Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break podcast. Make sure you're subscribing to this podcast, and also you can always get your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Fantasy Basketball or any of the other team-specific podcasts across the Locked On Podcast Network. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.